In this first slide, we're looking at the seven feasts of Israel as they are laid out on a Hebrew calendar, with the 12 months of the Hebrew calendar in the central yellow circle. As we can see, the seven feasts are divided into three spring feasts over on the left, one summer feast up at around the 11 o'clock position, and the three fall feasts, which are over on the right-hand side at the 3 o'clock, 3:30 position. As we can see, the Hebrew calendar is in an ideal situation laid out on a 360-degree circle, with each of the 12 months occupying 30 degrees of that 360-degree circle, and each degree representing one day in the ideal 360-day calendar. This is, in fact, the calendar that we see in Holy Scripture. It's the biblical year. It was this 360-day biblical year that was used by Evangelical Scotland Yard Inspector Sir Robert Anderson back in the 19th century in his successful calculation of Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks. If we look over on the left, we can see the spring feasts. They are the Feast of Passover on the 14th day of the Nisan moon, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread on the 15th day, the following day, and the Feast of First Fruits, which is the first day following the Sabbath of Passover. It was 50 days later, in the summertime of the crucifixion year, that the Feast of Pentecost came into its new covenant fulfillment. And those first four feasts of the seven feasts of Israel have been fulfilled in the new covenant. They were fulfilled by the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ on Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. That was the year in which the Bible said that the day of Pentecost had fully come. The Holy Spirit fell upon the 120 in the upper room. And then the Holy Spirit outpouring spread out into the streets of Jerusalem and then on out towards the ends of the earth. This was on the 7th of Sivan in that same year. And so we saw the fulfillment of the first four feasts. There are three feasts yet to be fulfilled. The birthday of the church on the day of Pentecost was the exact same calendar day which saw the birthday of Israel. This was the very same day that Moses brought the law down from Mount Sinai and the nation of Israel was established. So the birthday of the church and the birthday of Israel come on the very same calendar day, the seventh day of the summertime month of Sivan. We don't see the significance of that now, but quite clearly this is not a coincidence. Both Moses and the Apostle Peter spoke of a royal priesthood and a holy nation. And so at the climax of the age, remnant Israel and the remnant church will be one and the same. There will be one elect. Indeed, from cover to cover, the Holy Scriptures only speak of one elect. And a quick online word study of the word elect or the word chosen, or checking out these critically important words in a concordance, will readily confirm this for you. Now, if we take a look over on the right-hand side of our diagram, we will see the three fall feasts of the year. Those have not yet been fulfilled, but we can be sure that just as the first four feasts over on the left were fulfilled in spectacular fashion, so we can expect that the three fall feasts over on the right will similarly be fulfilled with epic eruptions of holy history. The Feast of Trumpets is up next. Quite clearly, these four feasts relate to kingdom issues. It is the first day of the Jewish New Year, and it relates to the civil year. It's the day of Rosh Hashanah, and it's the first day of Tishri. It's the new moon of Tishri. It's the only feast that occurs on a new moon. So on this epic future moonless night of Rosh Hashanah, we might well expect that something sinister will be going on. And in fact, we have good reason to suspect that this future blockbuster day in history will in fact be the Daniel 9:27 sovereignty giveaway involving Israel and the nations of Western Christendom. And on this day, the watchmen of Israel from both houses, both over in the house of Judah, in the Jewish house, and in the house of Joseph, will be blowing the shofars and sounding the trumpets of alarm. And so this awesome future Rosh Hashanah will usher us into the 70th week of Daniel, the final 7 years of this age. The God of Israel will be resuming his determined dealings with all his covenant people. He will be calling for his witnesses, and he will be calling all men into his great salvation. He's going to be digging deep here. He's a merciful God, and he's not willing that any should perish. The following feast is the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, which is the most holy and awesome day of the year. It's the year in which Israel either lives or dies. It's the sum-up day, the wrap-up day, the day of reckoning, the final day for man to settle his accounts with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Also on this day, the Day of Atonement, Day of Reckoning, Yom Kippur, the trumpets of Jubilee are blown. This ends the 49 years and ushers in the new economic cycle with the 50th year, the year of Jubilee. And so those two feasts are up next. We haven't yet seen them come into their new covenant fulfillment, but we can be sure that at the climax of this age they will. And in fact, we have good reason to suspect that they will stake out the 70th week of Daniel, the final 7 years of this age, with the 30 days is added on to the 1260 days to make the 1290 days mentioned by the angel Gabriel in his message to Daniel in Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. So 1260 plus 1290 days equals 2550 days. If we consider the Feast of Trumpets as day one, the 2550th day will be the Day of Atonement.
This is a pretty remarkable discovery, that the fall feasts, the ones that are yet to be fulfilled, the ones that we are expecting to be fulfilled, will actually be initiating and terminating the final 7 years of this age.
But very few seem to be paying it very much attention. Eligible future 7 year periods that would qualify for the future 70th week, the final 7 years of this age, would be those 7 year periods that would see 86 moons and not 87 moons. This is about half the time.
And you can check out the future 7 year Tishri 1 to Tishri 10 time spans for yourself using the Hebkel.com Hebrew date converter, or if you wish, you can use the lunar data provided by the US Naval Observatory. If you do an online search of the subject metatonic cycles, you will see my article on the subject of metatonic cycles and the 70th week of Daniel.
So the seven feasts of Israel are more than quaint Jewish traditions. They're more than just religious rituals that are performed every year by our Jewish brethren.
But more than that, the seven feasts of Israel are actually seven waypoints in God's timetable for the redemption, the Holy Spirit equipping, and the final witness and glorification of the covenant people of God. This is also an introduction into the millennium of Messiah with the seventh feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. So in the seven feasts, God is laying out his agenda. He is being upfront with us. He is demonstrating in the spring feast his priestly role in his death, burial, and resurrection. And in the fall feasts, he is showing his kingdom ministry as he returns as the conquering king. The springtime saw him as the suffering servant, you'll recall, and that was a priestly role. But in the fall feasts, his kingdom is being announced. The Ancient of Days is sitting, and he is calling for his witnesses. And so finally, at the consummation, he comes in his second role as the Messiah and the coming King of Kings.